give a bit of background to what I'm going to be sharing. I want to be talking about the importance of faithfulness. So if anybody's taking notes this evening, I see one or two, you got notepads there. The topic would be the power of persistent faithfulness. And that's a bit of a mouthful, and I'll unpack that a bit more as we go through. But just to give a bit of background before I dive in and share a few keys and principles, and I just guess give a bit of background to that topic and explain a bit about what it is from Scripture and how it relates to us as Christians. I think, you know, in our culture today, we've become so fascinated by success. I think very often we hear about success in business. You do apply these things, you'll have a successful business. We talk about successful living, successful church models that influence our thinking as Christians, how to have successful church models, successful Christian life. But when I was looking at this, I think there's one phrase that really stood out to me. I think it's important we grasp is that true kingdom success is defined by persistent faithfulness to the call of God. So true kingdom success is defined by persistent faithfulness to the call of God. That's really, according to the perspective of heaven, that's really what success looks like for us, is to be persistently faithful to the things that God calls us throughout all of our lives. Gabriel Wilson said this, that success in God's kingdom is loving God, loving one another, and being faithful to what he's called us to do. So what's the call of God for your life? We all have different aspects of things that we're called to do. You know, Ephesians 4:11 talks about the gifts that God's given to the church, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. And some of us have particular callings for ministry, for church leadership. But all of us as Christians have callings that God puts upon our life. And we might not see it as a calling from God, but it is something that he has asked us to do. Anything God asks us to do in our lives as Christians denotes the calling of God over our life. So it's not just up to the leaders and those that are the clergy or the ministers to fulfill a sense of call of God, but it's for each and every one of us. The word for the church, if we study throughout Scripture, we hear the language of the church. In the Greek, if we take it back to the Greek, is ecclesia. That means called out. But we're not just called out as Christians, called out of the world, called out of the dominion of darkness, but we're called for something. There's a calling over each of our lives, a particular plan and purpose, and God wants us to be faithful in all of that. Again, as I said, so often we elevate the pastor or the leader, but it could be some of you here, you know, grandmothers, mothers. That's just as aspect of as important of calling in God's economy than being a leader or a clergyman. And it's really important we grasp that perspective. You know, that God gives callings to church, callings to this church fellowship to make a difference in this area that God's placed you. Just looking at the Greek word for faithfulness, it comes from the root word pistis, which is this language of faith and trust. And it's very similar, the word for faith and faithfulness. But I think the difference between faith and faithfulness is just having an attitude of faith over a particular period of time, over a longer period of time. I think it's easier for us as Christians to have a burst of faith a particular season of our lives, but to keep that faith going when it goes through the tough times. And you know, I'm sure all of you here in church life, in your walks with God, have experienced the storms, have experienced tough times, and it's just hanging on to God and just keep trusting him at his word and being faithful over a consistent period of time. And most of you here probably heard of Joyce Meyer. She described it like this. She said, faithfulness is doing something right. Faithfulness is not doing something right once, but doing something right over and over and over and over. So when our thinking's right, it produces right action. When we trust and believe in something, it produces the action that God wants us to do. James 2 verse 17, you've probably heard this passage of Scripture, faith without works is dead. So the things that we believe in God for, we're called to bring action to that and put legs on our faith. So real faithfulness produces right actions over a longer period of time. You know, it might not always be easy being in a Christian community, being a mum or dad and fulfilling that calling, but there is this sense that we're called from God to keep being faithful even when we face those challenges. So I guess I've really, the heartbeat of what I want to share tonight is just want to encourage us that there's great power in persistent faithfulness. There's great power when we're persistently faithful to the things that God's calling us to do. But I think we can only be fit, and we've sung a bit about tonight, about God's faithfulness, about his great love for us, but I think we can only really be faithful to God's call and purpose towards others when we first understand God's faithfulness towards us. God continually, you know, the Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Continually demonstrating that faithfulness towards us throughout our lives. And we understand that through experience, but as we grow in intimacy with Jesus and keep pressing into him, we're revealed even more by the Holy Spirit about the faithfulness of God over our lives. And when we get that God's faithful towards us, then we're faithful towards others. I just want to look at a few keys from Acts chapter 10 tonight, looking at the story of Cornelius and his persistent faithfulness. So this is Acts chapter 10, verses 1. I could read the whole chapter because there's so much good stuff in it. I think we'll just go from verses 1 to 4, and that can be your homework. We'll be reading the rest of it later when we get back, because it's a long chapter. If anyone's there, would anyone like to read us it? Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. If not, I can just read it out. Yeah, that's great, thanks. That's the verse that I want to focus on. An angel of the Lord appearing to Cornelius, saying that your gifts, or it says in the ESV here, and I'm reading, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And, you know, I think there's a few keys that we can look at here from the life of Cornelius about that aspect of faithfulness, that he consistently, continually was faithful when nobody was watching. He did the right thing before God, continually giving to the poor, continually seeking God, continually a God-fearing man, even when nobody was watching. And we read the story, if we were to read on, how Peter, there was entrance for him to come and preach the gospel, and his whole household was saved. It was the first spirit baptism that the Gentiles experienced, and there's such a door for the whole gospel to spread right across the Gentile world. But the platform was from the faithfulness of Cornelius and his heart, and God really honoring that. So I think there's three effects, for us to just kind of earth this and take a few notes, the three effects of persistent faithfulness in our lives as Christians. There's three effects of persistent faithfulness in our lives as Christians. And I think the first thing for us to consider is that when we're persistently faithful to the call of God and the things that he's asking to us as individuals, corporately as a church, that it really makes an impact in the lives of others. We've seen this, as I said, with Cornelius, and you know, we catch his heart as well, a sacrificial heart for generosity that was really countercultural to the attitudes of his day. So, in just looking at this message, I did a bit of study and research, looking at, you know, the faith and different religions in the Roman world in the first century, and they would have different rituals with different gods, and they would bring their money to a particular god and believe that if they give their money to a certain god, then they're going to receive prosperity and blessing over a particular household. And Cornelius was so countercultural that he gave his gifts away to the poor, not expecting anything in return. You know, we've got a similar mentality today about, you know, we've heard the language recently about recession and all those other things. We need to cut back and, you know, watch our spending and those kind of things. But, you know, the heart of Cornelius was countercultural. It was different to the world in which he lived, and chose to put others first and chose to serve others and be sacrificial in his giving. You know, our society today is so me-centered, but God wants us to have that perspective where we're focused on others. You know, it's interesting, as I say, crossing the States, taking a lot of different planes to get there. I think I had to take about 3 or 4 flights from Newcastle just to get across. And, you know, they hear all the ladies come up and they give the safety announcement. Most of you have probably seen it. And it's interesting, one of the things that they say, don't they? Fit your own masks first in the event of emergency before caring for somebody else. And it's just interesting, a little analogy, but it's so true that our society is always, you've got to look after yourself first before putting others first. But the attitude of the kingdom of God challenges all of that. And being faithful to the things God asking us to do as Christians is putting others first. It's praying consistently, giving, and impacting other people. So Cornelius' faithfulness opened a door of salvation, opened a door for the Holy Spirit to move in power in his life, in his family's life, and a door for the Gentiles to hear the gospel. As I said before, it was the first time there was the spirit baptism for the lives of Gentiles in Scripture. Previously, the Holy Spirit only moved upon Jews. And if you look all throughout Scripture, there's like a theology of first things. Every time God did something for the first time, it's really significant. So there's such a significant thing happening through the life of Cornelius. And he made an impact on the world around him and on the impact of others. And it just challenges this idea that we can hear in society that, you know, religion is just a personal thing, that our faith is just meant to be a private aspect. But I think as Christians that our faith is meant to impact the lives of others. It's what God does in us. We receive the love of God. We understand and get revelation of his faithfulness, and it's called to spill out to the world around us. So our lives should impact others. Francis of Assisi said, and some of you probably heard the quote, "Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary." And our actions should speak louder than words, like Cornelius, that our faithfulness, consistently giving, consistently praying, the character that we have affects others and how we live. And often we don't realize the impact that we're making. We can get in the middle of something. It can be difficult. You know, the difference that we're trying to make in our family, in our workplace. And God's often working behind the scenes on people's hearts, on people's lives, and doing stuff that we're not aware of. And often the temptation can be frustrated and to give up and say, "God, am I really having an effect? Am I really making an impact on other people?" But I've just come to encourage us this evening that there's great power in faithfulness and continuing to do the right thing. Often we're so unaware of the effect of our witness and our serving and our praying towards others. I just want to read us another passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 58. It says, 1 Corinthians 15, 58, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And I think that's a great encouragement for us as Christians, because sometimes we can think in running the race for God and serving and praying for others and doing all the things that we do, it can get difficult sometimes, and we don't always see the fruit, we're not always seeing the effectiveness of it. But there's such an encouragement from the Lord that the seeds that we're sowing is making a difference, and that our work is not in vain, the things that we do for God. Amen. Yeah. You know, it's often the small unseen acts of great faithfulness and kindness that make the greatest difference in the purposes of God. How many of you have been impacted or have heard of the ministry of Billy Graham? I guess that would be the majority of us. One of the biggest names in the body of Christ, and such an important, significant influence Billy Graham's ministry's had on the body of Christ. But it's interesting, if you listen to and hear the stories of two of his children that's in ministry today, that they often contribute their legacy, their faith, more to their mum, Ruth, I believe she's called, than their dad, which is interesting. Such a great ministry, but they just recount stories of her mum's faithfulness, how she got up early in the morning, without fail, consistently to pray and seek God and pray for the family and the witness that she was. And I think that's such an encouragement and can change a lot of our perspectives of what faithful looks like and what ministry really is. And I think that's so important. So we really need to get a hold of that perspective of persistent faithfulness in our lives as Christians. The second thing that I want to say, another effect and another example of the power of persistent faithfulness, is that it releases a breakthrough moment. If we're persistently faithful in the things that God has called us to do, then it will release a moment of breakthrough with God. You know, we heard in this passage of Scripture, we're looking at Cornelius. He had all these years of faithful service, was faithfully giving his alms to the poor, faithfully blessing the poor, faithfully fearing God, faithfully consistently praying. And it was just seems like there's this moment of one day he gets a vision from God, one day that, you know, things are released in the heavenlies. There's an encounter with God. There's a revival in his house. So all these things happen in such a short space of time, and God's power coming through him into the Gentile world. So his consistent and persistent faithfulness over a long period of time released that breakthrough moment. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." And that's such an encouragement for us. I think very often in the areas that we're believing for as breakthrough, as Christians, family members that we're believing to be saved, lost loved ones, those that don't yet know the Lord, and we're standing in the gap for them. I think very often we're closer to breakthrough than we realize. We're closer to seeing God turn around in particular scenarios and situations. So I want us to hold firm to that. You know, for those of us that are on Facebook, they have something called memes, which is like, it's like, you know, the old caricature, the cartoons and papers that we'd have in a newspaper that would have a little picture, a silly picture and a thought underneath it. And there was one that I came across the other day, and there's this brilliant picture of this guy, and some of you may have seen it, and he's got a pickaxe, and he's been digging down in this pit, and he's digging in this pit, and you just see him give up as he's dug this hole in this pit with his pickaxe and discouraged and walking away in the other direction, and he's literally inches, there's a bit of dirt, he's inches from the second pit that's full of diamonds and all these jewels in the second pit of a big diamond mine. And I just thought that was such an interesting illustration. Often we can be so close to breakthrough in particular areas and things that we're believing for, but it can be easy to be discouraged. So I guess I've just come to encourage us all with that this evening. And I think Tony prayed for it before, and it's been mentioned already, but like for those of us who've seen, Tony probably seen it being from Northumberland, all the farms there, and for those of us that have got green fingers, I'm not particularly green fingered, but any of the gardening people will see this with, when you're sowing seeds, it's this, often the things that we see in the natural, in the environment, are paralleled in the spirit. So like, we're sowing seeds in prayer for a particular situation. There's seed time and then harvest. The same in the spirit as the same in the natural. It's parallel. So if we're gardening, we're sowing a seed. It's not going to see a big, if we're sowing maybe an apple tree, it's not going to see a big tree form overnight. It takes time. So there's seed time and harvest. And like Cornelius, if we're continually faithful in the things that God's calling us to do, we continue to pray and see a breakthrough that we will see fruit and a harvest, amen, if we continue in that. So, but I think so often the culture that's such an instant, and particularly for me, sort of on all the social media and Facebook, and it's all instant, and we're getting, the UK is becoming more Americanized with all these drive-thrus, and everything's catered to our convenience, and everything's so quick and instant. But that's not the economy of the kingdom of God. That's not how it works when it comes to the process of seed time and harvest and the things that we believe for. So we have to have that patience to continue to be faithful and trust the promises of God and trust the things that He's spoken to us about. Some of us have probably heard the saying before in the context of prayer that a delay is not a denial. So just because we haven't seen an immediate breakthrough of the things that we're holding on for, isn't an indication that our efforts are in vain or that God isn't at work in a situation, but we need to just hold fast in that. I went to Mattersea Bible College, and sister in here today, and we were just sharing before, we went to the same Bible college and remembering some of the different lecturers. But I don't know if you had Dr. John Andrews, if he was there when you did, Dr. John as well. And he's currently now the principal of it, and God's using him and doing great things. But he used to say this to us in class. He said, keep doing the last thing God told you to do until you hear otherwise. And I think that's so important in the context of faithfulness, that we're doing the last thing that God put in front of us to do, doing whatever He's put in our hands and being consistently faithful with that until He directs us in another area or until there's a breakthrough. So it's so important that we're persistently faithful. I guess the final thing I want to just share in my heart with us tonight, I guess before we come to time of prayer and close, is that persistent faithfulness catches the attention of heaven. Persistent faithfulness catches the attention of heaven. And I'll explain what I mean by that a bit more. We looked at this verse in Acts, particularly chapter 4 that I was alluding to, and this is the Lord saying that through an angel saying to Cornelius that your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. If any of you walk through a park or something and you see a big war memorial, you can't miss it because it's just massive and it just dominates as you're walking through. They're hard to miss. But, things ascend, like the story of Cornelius. It was a memorial before God. It caught the attention of heaven. I think that's just a challenge for us. I was just thinking through, I was looking at this passage of scripture, what about our lives catch the attention of heaven? God knows all about us, everything we've done, but, in the light of eternity, what are those things that will be the most memorable about our lives, about our witness before God? Something to think through and consider. I recently had coffee with another different mentor figure of mine, and he was had a long and fruitful ministry. And I think it's always good in various aspects of life, but particularly in our walk with the Lord, to meet with spiritual mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters who've just kept the heart right over years and are just further ahead of us in the things of God. And I was just meeting with him recently and having a coffee and chatting. And he was talking a couple of years ago about how he had a real encounter with God in a time of worship. There was just a stillness and a holy hush in that particular meeting. And he just felt his whole life in ministry had, like Jesus had come and appeared to him. And he felt his life in ministry kind of flash before his eyes. And the Lord was showing him different things about his life. And God was reminding him of the things that he'd valued so much about his service and everything that he'd done for God. And he thought the key things of his life would have been getting married, having kids, some of the things that he'd done in ministry when he'd spoke as a conference speaker, and all of these different things that we'd value naturally speaking. But the priorities of God's often so different to what he thinks. And God had showed him back when he was a teenager a particular experience that he'd forgotten about. He was just on his own cleaning a church and just worshiping God. And that there was something of a servant's heart that was built into him in that particular moment. And it's just interesting, the things that God values that we don't often value. But our persistent faithfulness, serving God in obscurity, that really catches the attention of heaven. So often we think it is those monumental things, but often it's just the things we do in love, in servanthood that nobody else sees. I remember there was a time at Bible college, I used to take the scripture when Jesus said about going in your prayer closet, very literally, because we had small cupboard rooms, and I used to get into my actual cupboard to pray. So I used to move the clothes around and just put some music on and just spend some time praying. And I'm ashamed to admit, often I would fall asleep. Have you ever fell asleep trying to pray? So I'd be trying to see God, and sometimes, didn't always, but sometimes I would fall asleep, but I'm sure my heart was right anyway. But I think there's something about that those experiences that you catch the attention of heaven. It just, I remember those times of being in that cupboard, spending time with God, built something of a hunger and appetite in my life for God at such a young age. And it's so important that we have those things that, you know, catch the attention of heaven, and we have that faithfulness. You know, King David had such a heart of humility, and that really attracted the attention of heaven. He, you know, used to faithfully worship God, sing songs of praise, writing songs and psalms and poetry to God in seeming obscurity and humility where nobody else would see. And that caught the attention of heaven. You know, Acts 13 verse 22 says, "After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart.'" He was faithful in his heart for God. And I think that, just to close, that, you know, being persistently faithful echoes into eternity. Being persistently faithful in the things of God echoes in eternity. And tonight we've sung about how we're saved by grace. We're not saved by our works. That's what gives us access into heaven. But there is a judgment that will come on our works. We do have to stand and give an account for the things that we've done in our lives as Christians. And that's not to induce fear in us, but that's to motivate a righteousness. And it's worth thinking through all of those sort of things about how we spend eternity, because I believe that our faithfulness and fruitfulness are rewarded in the light of eternity. I'm a master's student, still part-time, and I like studying about the early Pentecostal history and the days of revival. And it seems like a lot of the early Pentecostals had such an overemphasis on the end times, and it became a bit legalistic. I don't know if you've heard stories where they wouldn't even be allowed to go to the cinema because there was such an expectancy that Jesus is coming back soon, and there could be a rapture, and that's carnal, and you could miss out on all of that. And hopefully we've found more of a balance now, and we've had teachings on grace come and all sorts of things, and that's important. And there's been a lot of emphasis on actually the kingdom is within us. It's not just about going to heaven when we die, but it's about bringing the kingdom now. And I think that's so important. But in all of that, have we lost sight of teaching on eternity? Have we lost sight on the reality that one day, like we sang, we stand before Jesus? And that's so important. But our faithful service is rewarded in the light of eternity. Our faithful service is rewarded in the light of eternity. I remember once that I think it's probably the only reward or the only award I've won in my life was a golf competition once when I was a teenager. And I'm not particularly good at golf, actually, not particularly sporty. But I remember being so proud at this particular time that I'd won this award. But now it's just at the back of the cupboard and it's full of dust and I don't even think about it. But it's interesting that we care about things so much at times that don't really matter in the light of eternity. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about a crown that will never fade away, running the race for a crown that will never fade away. So our faithfulness produces an eternal reward. The scripture in Matthew 25:23, it says, Jesus speaking, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter in to the joy of your master." The missionary Amy Carmichael, who was from Northern Ireland, went to be a missionary in India. She said this: "There have been many times of late when I have had to hold on to one text with all of my might. It was this: it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Praise God, it does not say successful." And often we compare to others and we want to be successful, and we compare someone else's highlight reel to our mistakes, and it's just an unhelpful sense of comparison. But God wants us as Christians to run our own race as individuals and be faithful to those things that he's put in front of us. And there's so much power in being persistently faithful, because on the other end, people's lives are impacted. On the other end, it makes a difference in the light of eternity. So it's important we get that perspective. So I'd just like to pray for us to close, and then hand over to Tony. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that we've been able to worship, to come round your table, and to fellowship together this evening, Lord. And I just pray that you'd help us and strengthen us in our lives, Lord, following you, to be persistent, to be faithful in the call of God on our lives and all these different areas and the things that you are asking of us, Lord, even when it gets tough, Lord, that you just broaden our perspective, give us heaven's perspective to see things in the light of eternity, Lord, that we would be faithful and consistent for everything that you're asking us. Lord, I just pray your blessing over everyone that's been here this afternoon, and I just pray we'd go away with such a fresh sense of purpose and focus in the plans and call of God over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.